Welcome to John Paul Jones Arena. Two weary travelers here with you, Chris Graham and Scott German. And Scott, yes, Virginia, 56-47 win over North Carolina in a game that, it started ugly. 6-5 lead for Virginia, 9 minutes ago, first half. And then this Virginia team, this is easily the best performance of the season for the Cavaliers.
Oh, without a doubt. I would almost say that after that sluggish 6-5 start, we just took off. But I think that might be a little bit of an overstatement. But, yeah, this is one of the most impressive. I'm going to really go out on a limb. This is one of the most impressive Virginia wins in a long time.
Yeah.
For a number of different reasons. We just played awful in the game against Purdue.
Yes.
Didn't have a clue what we were doing offensively. Shot the ball poorly. We had a number of players step up tonight, and we'll talk about it, looking at the final stats, final official box score. And the defensive effort was there, returned again.
Yeah.
And this against the North Carolina team, that is kind of reeling right now, but still, it's still the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah.
And they wanted this as bad as we did, although at times it didn't seem like it.
Well, yeah, they were also coming off a big loss, 74-49 at home to Ohio State in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. So both these teams came in with lots of questions. Virginia got some answers. Let's talk about some of those answers first off. Mami Diakite had 12 points, but he wasn't the star of this game from Virginia's standpoint. I'm not sure if there was a star of the game. And maybe let's start Thomas Wonotensai had 11 points. Talk about him in a minute, but if we were to anoint a star in this game, Francisco Cufaro, Poppy, Jack Salt 2.0, as Scott here has been calling him, and affectionately, but today, okay, so Jack Salt 2.0, Poppy, Francisco Cufaro, 10 points, 7 rebounds, I think we witnessed something tonight, Scott, in terms of Tony's got some issues now to figure out in terms of how he divides those minutes up in the post.
Well, if the trend that we saw develop tonight continues, you won't have an issue because Jay Huff is playing himself on the bench.
He really is.
He had a terrible game tonight. 0 points, 0-4 from the field, 5 rebounds, but as I alluded to earlier, about 2, maybe 3 of those just simply fell in his hands.
Yeah.
He wasn't aggressive whatsoever. Just kind of played disinterested to me.
And Cufaro was aggressive. He was rolling to the basket. He made it a couple of times. He and Kihei Clark connected on little pick and roll drop downs. And, he took some big shots. He got a post pass down here 5 minutes or so to go, made a move, a drop step. I mean, he was good. And then rebounding, 7 rebounds. He was wrestling rebounds away. And Scott, you noted his defense. You were watching him on the defensive end.
You know, I commented that his body frame looks like he was just chiseled out of a piece of granite, slate, whatever. But he moves very fluidly on
yeah.
the floor.
Yeah.
He doesn't move. He looks as though he might be a little stiff at times, but he moves. He covers the floor very
His footwork
well.
Is his very footwork good. Is yeah. very Much good. Better. I mean, we love Jack Salt. And Jack earned his time, and Poppy's Francisco Cufaro has been compared to Jack Salt because, well, one, he looked at Jack as his mentor last year. I talked with Cufaro before the season, and he talked about how, you know, he missed part of last season. He was a redshirt anyway, but he missed part of the practice part of last season with injury, and he came in, and he said, Jack Salt said, hey, I understand we play a lot alike. I should be doing my Jack Salt impression, but I'm not going to do it. I'm latching myself to you, and you know, Cufaro earned his way in the lineup, setting hard picks, getting those rebounds, playing defense. But, man, he really moves well in there. And Salt could be a little herky-jerky, but, yeah, he's very Cufaro is very fluid in there.
Yeah. Jack didn't look like he really was all that interested in handling the ball
right.
or having the ball.
Having the ball, yeah.
Having the ball.
He didn't post up and ask for the ball. Cufaro did tonight.
Cufaro did. Cufaro.
Against Carolina.
Against a good – a big team. Carolina
big team.
Was big.
Yeah,
very a lot to be excited about with his play, and I'm sure Tony is going to really reap a lot of praise on him. So I'm going to talk about a player that I have been really down on that I'm going to say for tonight at least, I'm going to eat a little crow and talk about Cody Stappen, because he had a good night tonight. 7 points, three of nine from the field, but he knocked down some shots. He didn't look tentative in taking the shots.
And he made that three, and when he got the ball thereafter, was very confident, even though he was mainly passing the ball a lot in the mover blocker. It was different. The first half, when it was 6-5, 11 minutes into the game, everybody was standing around the perimeter, passing around the perimeter, nobody attacking the paint. When Walter Tensai made his three threes, when Statman made the three, there were three times Virginia got found shooting threes. All of a sudden, everything opened up. You know, there was that one play we talked about where Cafaro and that dump down from Kihei Clark off of the screen and roll. Virginia runs that play a lot with Diakite and Huff, and it's never been open. But now that you see, because the three-point shooters haven't been making threes.
Right.
They make threes tonight, and guess what? That play's open. So now it's something else to worry about.
Yeah, I'm looking at the scoreboard. It wasn't what I would call a torrid offensive performance from the three-point line, 6-17, but that's enough that the defense has to be cognizant of it.
Yeah.
Which creates some of those pick and rolls.
And this team got to the line tonight really well, too. 18 of 25 from the foul line in this game. A team that doesn't, you know, Tony Bennett uses the term touch the paint. Guards have to touch the paint. You know, and Ty Jerome was, and Kyle Guy, but Ty Jerome especially, was so good at this. Get the ball, penetrate, dribble, penetrate, get in the paint, and then either drop down to a big or kick out to a three-point shooter. And against Purdue, we didn't touch the paint. The guards didn't touch the paint. They first 15 minutes of the game, we weren't touching the paint. Last 25 minutes of this game, Kihei was in the paint. Even Morcell, he had 5 points on 2 of 9 shooting, but he was dribble penetrating, getting in the paint, kicking the ball around. Well, the Tensai was very confident. Statman was very confident. Tonight, Wednesday night, Scott, that team was tentative, timid. This was a confident team tonight.
Yeah, and again, hey, we're not sitting here saying that all of a sudden this team needs to be compared, this effort needs to be compared to a Golden State of last year. Golden Tensai, 3 of 7. But we talked earlier in the season, they didn't look like
the 3 of 4 from 3.
Yeah, 3 of 4 from 3. They didn't even look like they wanted to shoot. These players were much more confident tonight. They looked for the shot, and we know they're good shooters in practice. That's why they're playing. You know, it's going to eventually start. The shots are going to start falling.
The shooting percentage in the second half for Virginia, 8 of 24, 33%. But you go to the line, 14 of 19 from the line for Virginia. And, again, that's a team that's dribble penetrating. They're creating fouls. They're creating foul shot opportunities. And you see 32 points on the scoreboard in the second half. Again, yeah, the Virginia team last year was one of the most efficient offensive teams in the KenPom.com era. This team is not that, but this team tonight against a good Carolina team was good enough. The final score is a 9-point margin. Virginia led by 17 with 3 minutes to go. This game was not a 9-point game. Virginia, a 16-3 run over a 7-minute, 23-second portion of the second half, turned a 4-point lead into that 17-point lead.
A Cavalanche,
yeah. We had our first Cavalanche of the 2019
season.
That meant anything. Yeah, 2-0 in the ACC, by the way, for this Virginia team. Wins over Syracuse and North Carolina. But in that stretch, so you know, talk about defense, we haven't talked much about tonight. In that 7-minute, 23-second stretch, Carolina, 3 free throws, 0 for 5 from the floor, 3 turnovers, and just 3 free throws in that stretch. And so this Virginia – Carolina started the second half 4 of 6. They ended 10 of 23, so that's 6 of 17 and down the stretch. I actually made a couple baskets at the end to make their stats look good. This is a nice win for a Virginia team. And also, good defensive effort. We have to praise the defensive effort of Kihei Clark, who, by the way, had 6 assists, 2 turnovers in this game.
And another high five from Tony.
And another high five from Tony with a steal at half court with about a minute to go. Yeah, that was the most enthusiastic high five I think I've seen from Tony. But on Cole Anthony, the star point guard, star freshman point guard, presumed by a lot of folks, one and done, had 34 memorably in that opener against Syracuse. 12 points, which might sound good, but 4 of 15 from the floor, no assist for the point guard, 6 turnovers for Cole Anthony in 36 minutes. And the student section serenaded him quite a bit in the second half with the overrated chant that we're not all that much fans of, but it actually fit the bill tonight.
Yeah. So this probably just comes from being road weary.
We need to point out, if you didn't see us last night at about 11 o'clock after the ACC championship game, it's because, well, we didn't have much to say after that one. But literally, we woke up this morning in Charlotte. We drove straight up 29 here. We've not been home yet. So our wives miss us. Our dogs miss us. And anyway, sorry, I had to set the tone there, Scott. So go ahead. Road weary.
Almost feel sorry for North Carolina.
They played road weary.
They're struggling.
They were like they were at the game last night. Yeah.
They had a horrendous game against Ohio State.
Yes, they did.
And even leading up to that game, they weren't playing well.
Yeah.
This is not where you want to come to get healthy.
No, you score 49 at home against Ohio State. And a Carolina team. Now, Virginia scoring 49 in a game. The pace we play, you can write that off. And, of course, Virginia's won a few games this year.
We've won games.
48-45 went over Arizona State. 48-34 went over Syracuse. We win games that way and win them comfortably sometimes. But when you play Carolina's pace, 70 possessions a game, 49 stands out. So, yeah. 49 and 47 back-to-back games.
Well, and the 47, they had to go on a little bit of a spurt to get that.
They had 38 with 3 minutes to go.
Right.
Yeah,
they were under 40.
Yeah.
So,
there were a lot of questions for
this
them.
This is not where Roy probably really wanted to be today to try to
– No.
He wanted Roy needed a game against North Carolina A&T.
And Central Connecticut State, right. Yeah. You did not want this. And Virginia didn't want this either. But you know what? Now that we won it and now that we've had it, this is the way to go into your exam break.
Well, and I'm at the head of the line, complained about two ACC games before Christmas. Before. It's almost anti, it's blasphemy.
It's anti-American. Come on, the damn communists out there.
ACC fans. Now we're 2-0. And now we're facing the normal 18-game ACC schedule. But we've got a 2-0 start.
2-0 with a win at Syracuse and win at home over North Carolina.
So what a brilliant idea by the suits down in Greensboro.
John Swafford, you are a man. Yes.
Thank you.
So this Virginia win, yes, a break now. And this is a weird time because now we've gone from overload here the last 2 days, ACC championship game last night, drive to Charlotte, come back, Charlottesville, UVA, UNC today, ACC basketball here on a Sunday. Now we go to an exam break. I don't think we play again. When's
18th.
So today's the what is today?
Today's the 8th.
Today's Sunday.
Okay.
10 days. Oh, 10 days off. So, man, we have to figure out what we want to talk about. Actually, what we're going to do for the next 2 days is probably sleep. Okay, but then, well, hey, the good news today, so Scott, when he finally does come out of his slumber, maybe before you go into your slumber, Scott talked with Carla Williams, also with someone from the Orange Bowl Selection Committee.
The members of the Orange Bowl Committee were here today to officially present Virginia with the official Orange Bowl invitation.
And let's not steal the thunder, but you have an interesting column coming up with some insight into when Virginia got selected. It was a little sooner than today, let's just point it out that way. But look forward to that. Of course, Virginia is playing Florida in the Orange Bowl. Hey, we're here. And the football team was here earlier. I got the big cheer of the night until the big rally in the second half. Bronco, I think the entire football team was out there. Carla Williams
except,
out there.
Except Bronco, who we were told was on
the Oh, that's right. Bronco not there. Bronco not there.
Doing those behind-the-scenes things called recruiting.
On the West Coast. We're tired. We just came from Charlotte to Charlottesville. He flew out to the West Coast. He'll be back tomorrow, though. That's their job they have. The Orange Bowl bid is official 3 weeks from tomorrow, Virginia, Florida in the Orange Bowl. First appearance ever for Virginia in the Orange Bowl. I'm looking forward to getting a sunburn here in a few weeks in December. And so we'll have a lot on the website about that. We have more coming up about this game. We have Scott and his insight into the selection process for the Orange Bowl. And then we sleep. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast and wahoo.